acknowledge how uplifting this time of singing has been. You think about the prayers that we have been uttering in these songs and think about the meaning of these words. It's truly powerful just to consider how we can praise our God and be encouraged in this time of song. I want to think for just a few minutes about what the word faithful means. What do you think of when you think of the word faithful? I think there are some people who might hear that word and think that means perfect. It means without blemish. It means complete and flawless in every way. Maybe we think about God and the fact that he is described as faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, when Paul was talking about the church being unified in that divided Corinthian context, that's exactly what he says about God, pointing to the fact that because God is faithful and we all came through the same door, using Jesus' own language from John 10, we can trust that we are to be one in him. Paul writes in that passage, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so maybe we have an image of faithfulness, meaning never stumble, perfect in every way, flawless. I find that when people have a discussion in a religious context about faithfulness, it seems like there are two polar extremes, opposites, perspectives here. Some people think that faithfulness means we've got to be perfect. And if we ever stumble in any way, we're an abject failure. Other people read scripture and they see passages that talk about our sinfulness, our inability to approach God with unholiness, the fact that Romans 3:23 offers that statement about how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And they might say something like, we're too broken to be faithful. We're too stained by sin and unable to move in holiness towards God on our own for us to even be able to discuss faithfulness. So where in that tension do we find balance when we read scripture and think about our relationship with God? Lord willing, this spring in our Wednesday night class here in the auditorium, we're going to think about the way that this directly impacted the lives of several men and women that we read about in scripture. And more than just a character study, we're going to think about how they were called to be faithful, not meaning that they were perfect in every way, but they were called to be consistent in their behavior. They were called, meaning that God, through his spoken or written word, told them to do this. They were called to be consistent in their behavior regardless of what circumstances might come their way. It's sort of that proverb of Romans 12:15 that we are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. We're going to think about several men and women. I left my clicker on the pew, so I'm going to use the old-fashioned PowerPoint here. We're going to think about Lydia and what faithfulness looks like when we're successful professionally. We're going to think about other individuals like Timothy, what faithfulness looks like when we're young. We're going to think about my old PowerPoint. Thank you. What it looks like to be persecuted for our faith in the life of Daniel. We're going to think about what faithfulness looks like when we feel like quitting in the life of Elijah, or what faithfulness might look like even when we're near death, as we read in 2 Timothy from the pen of the Apostle Paul. What does faithfulness look like when my family isn't perfect, as we see in the life of Aaron? Or what does faithfulness look like when it costs me everything, as we see in Samson's last moments on this earth? What about when we fail and stumble and make mistakes? What does faithfulness look like? Or even, what does faithfulness look like when we seem defeated in the eyes of the world? Well, think about the life of Stephen. What does the faithfulness of God look like in our lives when the world seems to be against us, in the life of King Hezekiah? Or when someone else takes the lead, as we often see with Andrew in his interactions with others, including his own brother? What about faithfulness when we seem outclassed? We think we're not worthy to even be associated with other Christians, as we see in the life of Amos, or faithfulness in the life of that servant of God, Hannah, who poured out her heart before God and made a promise. We're going to see that throughout these stories that God is continually perfect and faithful in every way. But you see the struggles of these men and women in various contexts trying to live out life in a way that pleases God. You know, when I think about God being faithful, I'm reminded of another passage that encourages me even more than 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Have you ever noticed, it's just three verses long, what might be a song in 2 Timothy chapter 2 starting in verse 11? For just a few verses, even in most of our English translations, these verses are sort of blocked out as if they're a song or some kind of poem. And they all start in the same way in most translations, which indicates there was some kind of meter or rhythm there. And many have suspected that Paul could have even been quoting something that was well known or common among Christians in that particular day. Regardless of whether that's true or not, the words that God inspired in 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 11, are trustworthy. That's what the verse says. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, likely Paul's last letter from prison in Rome, nearing death. He says, this is, or it is, a trustworthy statement. And notice the conditions here and how this starts. It sounds so positive, right? He writes, for if we died with him, we'll also live with him. We hear that all the time. That sounds like Romans 6, 1 through 4, this idea that if we've participated in his death, we will have life through him. What a positive way to start, Paul. But notice how he continues. Another positive admonition. If we endure, we will also reign with him. That's the language of victory in Jesus. That's the language of understanding that God will keep every promise and redeem us to the full. But then notice how this takes somewhat of a negative turn. Don't you love the balance of the gospel, the warnings and the admonitions, the blessings and the discouragement to participate in anything that dishonors God? Paul writes, if we deny him, he will also deny us. But it's the very end of this short little passage, whether it's poetic or something Paul, by inspiration, writes for the first time. Notice verse 13. When we think about being faithful, or perhaps as is stated here, faithless, Paul writes, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is a powerful statement about the nature of a God who is perfect. It's sometimes difficult for us to understand or even to be able to comprehend what perfection looks like unless we perhaps look at the babies and the small children and those who surround us who we know have not yet reached that condition of accountability, recognizing what sin is and recognizing their separation from God. But even that, because of the context in which we live, isn't quite what we talk about when we talk about the perfection and faithfulness of God. But I believe Paul's talking about much more here than just the character of God. Sure, God is faithful, just like 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 stated so clearly, and he cannot deny himself. But notice the condition at the beginning of verse 13. Even when we are faithless, God is faithful. Even when we fail, even when we're not as perfect as we want to be or as perfect as perhaps other people think we ought to be, even when we fall flat on our face in a public fashion, even when we fail those who we love the most, who expect better of us, failure is not the end of the discussion. Because even when I'm faithless, God is faithful. So what ultimately is faithfulness all about? Is it about being able to bat 1,000 and never strike out and always do exactly what we're supposed to do? We certainly strive to live in obedience. That's the message of 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. What a beautiful statement about how we ought to orient our lives towards God's will. But we also understand that as human beings who are affected by our own sinful decisions, who are affected by living in an environment that often turns away from God's will, who are even affected by the consequences of other people's decisions, we understand that being perfect in our faithfulness is not within the realm of possibility once we reach a certain point in life. And so what are we to take away from the gospel message of Jesus as is being shared through the pen of the Apostle Paul from a Roman jail cell? I think the message is simple. Regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Remember what Paul writes in Philippians 4, right before that famous verse in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He talks about all the conditions that he's faced. He's been hungry and thirsty. He's been free and in prison. What's he talking about there? He's talking about how Christian character that reflects the faithfulness of God is greater than whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in. So whether we're beginning the semester or ending the semester, whether we pass the class with straight A's or fail the class miserably, whether we hit the home run or strike out, whatever the situation in our life is, God's faithful, and he's willing to hear our cries and our petitions. He has graciously, by his own initiative, offered us an opportunity to respond to him. What does it mean to come home to a Father who loves us? Perhaps in our own families, we didn't have that experience, but we serve a God who with open arms is faithful even when we're faithless. Let's strive to follow after him and recognize that we're surrounded tonight by people who love the same Lord we love, but who aren't perfect, who are striving to walk in his steps, to be obedient despite the circumstances we face. We're here to encourage one another with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that the God of heaven will give his attention to us if we turn from our sin and confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, being willing to submit to his death, burial, and resurrection through our own symbolic death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, knowing that every step we take, even steps that are faithless, if we're willing to come home to him, can be nuanced by the faithfulness of a God who will never forsake us. If we need to be encouraged in that, let's take great encouragement from God's perfect character as reflected through his perfect Son, made evident through his perfect Word, tonight as we, as imperfect people, look at how our great God is faithful even when we're faithless. Whatever our need might be, he's faithful to meet it as we stand and sing together.